Greg's hounding you about going to the company function.
I know. I want to go. I definitely want to go. I can't go today. Today's not a good day for me, unfortunately.
Is it
pumpkin beer season.
Is it kids?
You know, it is.
Yeah, worse.
It is.
They
both need to be picked up in places. Like,
talk about dragging you down.
I know.
As you just said to Greg, you want to go pump some beers.
I would love to. Like, you don't got to twist my arm. I obviously would like to be there slamming down pumpkin beers, which it is pumpkin beer season officially. Yeah. We're in September. I like to wait till September. They come out in August. But I say, no, I'll wait and I'll get my fill.
Yeah.
So September, October, Oktoberfests, pumpkin beers. I'll still drink the IPAs because, you know, I have a problem. But other than that, like, it is a good time. It's the best beer season. It's the best regular season on the calendar. Football season. You name it.
Football season.
It's here.
Pumpkin beer season.
The best season.
Pumpkin spice season.
I had one of those the other day, too.
Oh, nice.
They put too much milk in it, but.
The irony, you know, kids really get in the way of the drinking. Well, tonight.
No, they don't. Because you don't have to give them any. You tell them, this is a little spicy.
Kids really get in the way of the drinking, but then how many kids, you know, drinking led to children? Think about that.
True.
Yeah.
Probably all of them.
All of them. 100% in my case, I can tell you. So no company function tonight.
Not for me, and it's an IOU.
Not to keep rubbing it in.
No, I'd like to be there. You want to FaceTime me in?
Yeah, you want FaceTime? Just drink on your couch.
There I am.
Hey, guys, this beer, this is nice.
No, next time. Next time I'll be there.
Next company function.
Yeah. Okay. I'm a company man.
That's tonight in the Seaport. Shime, very anti going to the Seaport.
Shime's not going?
Well, I think he's going.
He'll go.
He's very anti going to the Seaport.
Well, I overall don't like leaving the house. I mean, if you tell me that there's pumpkin beers waiting for me at the end of the rainbow, like a pot of gold, I'll be there.
Free beers, I'd go to Antarctica. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
I'll be there for that. But overall, I kind of get it. And if Shime's sort of a indoor cat like myself, that's fine. Nothing wrong with that.
It's true.
Yeah.
So it's Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. We got all your phone calls, 617-779-7937. A lot of ways you can follow the show on Twitter and Instagram, at Jones and Keefe. You can watch on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI or on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. I was just talking in the crossover there. I think that 3-0 is a legitimate possibility for the Patriots.
Seems strong.
They're going to beat Seattle.
You know what? I kind of think so, too. And somebody tweeted out the graphic of, because this was a game, even pre the Cincinnati win, I thought this is going to be a win.
Same.
And I'm low on wins. I had like 3 wins for the year. This was one of them.
So
I'm certainly not going to change my opinion on it after they just beat Cincinnati. But I saw somebody tweeted out the graphic. I think it was the NFL Network and whatever show they were on. They had like 10 people on the show. Not enough takes, right? So they needed 10 people on the show. But they had all of their scores, I guess, for like every game. Oh, look at this. Terp crushing it on the Twitch and the YouTube.
Wow.
There it
is. Reading your mind. They're all picking Seattle. I hadn't seen
this. Look
at
that. I wasn't exaggerating. It's 10 different quote-unquote experts.
Oh, man. N. Shook took Seattle?
Everybody has Seattle.
K. Patra took Seattle?
These are the experts. Oh, friend of the show, Adam Rank on there.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, these are
G. Gordon took Seattle? Who are these
Gordon
people?
G. Gordon Liddy.
I like Daniel Jeremiah.
Okay.
MJD.
Oh.
Nice player.
MJD was good. Built
nice
like a
player.
Fire hydrant, but man, he could run you down.
I gotta say.
He was a good player.
Yeah, they wouldn't let him on a lot of amusement park rides.
Not any of them, probably.
But no, he's a good player.
He could run the ball, though.
Yeah.
He's effective. No, but isn't that surprising to you? I know the Patriots are home dogs, but it's by 3 points.
Down to 3? It was 3.5, right?
I saw 3. 3.5, maybe.
Give me that hook. I want that hook.
I need the hook.
Yeah.
On the north side of 3, I'll take that. South side of 3, stay away, folks.
Yeah, no, that hook's
important. I think they went outright, though.
Any gambler will tell you.
Maybe you sprinkle, which we are.
Yeah.
Maybe you sprinkle money line. Want a little juice? Sure you do. Who doesn't want juice?
I'll sprinkle money.
You like the juice?
The juice
is good.
You
like
the juice?
I get you the juice.
I like the juice on the Bills tonight if we're talking about it.
We're not talking about that, though.
Little Bills money line.
We're not talking about that game.
Sure, Patriots money line. I think they're going to win. Patriots money line, sure.
I like the
juice.
Kenneth Walker, who's their best offensive player, Seattle Seahawks, hurt, banged up. And he had a couple of really big runs for him and kind of opened up the offense for them. But then they didn't look great last week. And I know it's 1 week and teams can change, but Seattle... There's the classic like West Coast team playing a 1 o'clock game on the East Coast, all that. The body's off. The functioning of the body, they think it's a 10 a.m. for them.
You ever done that flight? You ever done a red eye?
I have done a red eye.
Let me tell you.
Dude, I did a red eye. You brought this up, all right? I did a red eye.
Yeah, I brought it up. Yeah.
I did a Vegas trip, my first ever Vegas trip a few months back. Me and a couple of the fellas.
You've never been to Vegas before?
Never been to Vegas in my life.
I've never been to Vegas.
You haven't?
How about that?
It's good.
Wow. Into our 40s, never been to Vegas.
No, I don't know if I need to go back necessarily, especially now. that you can gamble like right here on this chair. I mean, bet on games.
Not to say I wasn't focused during that crossover, but I was literally putting in bets in the crossover.
So it's lost some of the appeal. I know there's plenty of other stuff, but it's lost some of the appeal. It was cool. But anyway, I took a red-eye flight home, so I'm like, I want to maximize my time there.
Yeah.
I made the mistake, and I don't think they're a sponsor, but I flew Spirit Airlines.
Okay.
Which is the pits. It's the worst. And now, if they're a sponsor, dump all of this, guys. Yeah. But it's awful.
Like, yeah, dump out of that, would you?
So I was window seat
against the
wall, right?
Sure.
The two people next to me, it's not fair to say this, but just to paint the picture, walruses. I sat next to two walruses, and I was jammed into the thing.
Walrye.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, so yeah. Then I was on there first,
uh-huh.
And you're doing the thing where you're sitting
you're
there,
like,
and
no.
Yeah. It's like tiny, like 90-pound girl. You're like, yes. So she walks right by you. You're like, okay, not her. And then you're like, you're waiting. And then you see these two get on there, and you're like, no. And they're like, oh, I think this is us. I'm like, you think this is you? So they sit, and so like, and then what's even worse, like the guy sits in the middle and the girl sits on the, so I'm next to this giant man and he's like pressing up against me and I don't move on flights. I don't even move. I don't raw dog him. We talked about that.
We sure have. You won't.
I don't raw dog the flight.
What if you gotta use the restroom? You won't get up?
I don't. I'm like a camel.
You won't use the restroom.
No, it's mind over matter at that
point. I'm in my 40s now. I'm not
all the time.
I couldn't fly to New York and not take a leak.
It wouldn't have been fair to me to ask these two to get up. I don't think they would have been able to get up and get back down.
Yeah, both of them.
So I was jammed in there.
Tight.
I could not have been more uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I think I suffered an injury. Like the next 2 weeks, I was in bad shape. So then what I say now is if you ever do a cross-country flight on Spirit, just fly any other airline. So then me and my wife went, I don't even remember where we went.
Sure.
But we flew a different airline, regular seats, right? Not first class. It felt like first class because it just wasn't Spirit aisles or window seats.
So maybe what you're, this is actually a pitch for Spirit. Fly.
No. Oh, it is.
Fly Spirit.
Fly Spirit once, so cross country.
Then you can really appreciate another airline.
Everywhere
How
else
about
you
that?
Go, you're the lap of luxury. You get all the leg room in the world. Arm room, technology. You think Spirit has TVs? No, they don't have TVs, Jones. No, they don't. In fact, they take your phone. They're like, let me take this. You can't have that.
It's like a comedy show.
Oh, it's insane.
Like, throw that in the bag. Don't take any pictures
of
this.
We can't have people taking pictures of the foot space that you guys don't have or the leg room. Oh, my God. It was insane.
So Seattle,
So I like the Pats.
I don't know what they're flying. But Seattle.
If it's Spirit, take the Pats by 100. There's no way they're going to
alternate line. Move that line.
I would take them.
Yeah.
No, but like I like them. I was a little bit surprised. I mean, I think Vegas clearly, not the city, but just the odds makers, aren't going to go crazy after 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet this is also a sign they think Cincinnati played horribly versus the Patriots were good. But like, I don't love Seattle. So I'll definitely take the home dogs to bark the loudest this weekend.
Okay. And then they're on the verge of being 3-0.
Well, no, that's okay. They'd be 2-0 at that point.
Yeah, but on the verge.
They're on the verge.
Potentially
it's a short week for them.
Being 3-0.
On the road.
Yeah, it's a short week for the Jets, too. I don't think the Jets are...
You don't want the Jets.
I don't think the Jets are a layup this weekend.
Do they have
Tennessee?
I
don't think they're a layup against Tennessee.
Will Levis? I think they'll beat Will Levis.
Okay. Well, let's find out.
Do you think? Tune in to find out.
Yeah.
We'll have to wait and see. Do you think the Jets?
As Craig Breslow likes to say, TBD.
Oh my God. Do you think the Jets are better than the Seahawks? Or you think they're kind of the same?
Yeah.
Really?
Maybe.
Yeah. Okay.
I think the Jets. Look, I don't love the Jets this year. And no, I take that back. They're better than the Seahawks. Yes. They're better than the Seahawks. But I don't think they're a playoff. I don't think the Jets are a playoff team. I think they're like a 500-ish team. So here's the point.
Yeah.
You know, I do. Sense, and you let us know, 617-779-7937. Genuine excitement or genuine interest to see what the Patriots are.
Yeah.
If they get blown out by Seattle this weekend, people will go, okay, week one was
one-and-one. One-and-one, though. They'll say one-and-one, I don't think they will.
No, maybe, but I think...
We live in the moment.
I think people will look at it and go, that was more about the Bengals. The Bengals weren't ready. They were on strike. They were boycotting. They weren't happy about their contract.
That was a mess.
They look past the Patriots, whatever. I think we'll look back and go, that was more about the Bengals than it was about the Patriots. Seattle comes in and beats them, especially if it's not close. Then I think, okay, a lot of the excitement goes away. But I think there's genuine interest this weekend to see, are the Patriots that much better without Bill Belichick and with a new coach who they want to play for? Are they that much better with a career backup in Jacoby Brissett, but somebody who isn't
greater than
Mac Jones?
Yeah, 100%.
Are they that much better off? Are they on to something? is this team a better operation than the dysfunctional mess that people didn't want to acknowledge they were, but the dysfunctional mess that they were the last couple of years? So I think there's genuine interest in that, and you could really, really snowball that forward. And so the question becomes, all right, how do you beat this Seahawks team? What's the game plan for beating a team like Seattle that got off to a 1-0 start against Bo Nix and the crummy Broncos?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it was a great performance by Seattle, as Curran told us the other day. You know, a couple of safety. It took two safeties in the game, for God's sakes. So I don't think they're a great team. What's the game plan for beating them, Keith?
I think it's going to have to be for the Patriots very similar to what they did last week. That's kind of what they have. I don't think, like, the previous Patriot teams, you remember if the team they faced had a bad run defense, they'd pass all over them. Mm-hmm. If they had a bad bad run defense, they'd run all over them. Like, they could beat you in a variety of ways. This Patriots team can't. So it's going to have to be running game and defense. And the big key is probably going to be Jacoby Brissett not turning it over once again. We'll probably say that every week as long as he's still the starter. Because case in point, you brought up my guy Bo Nix making his NFL debut. Threw two picks in the game. One of them was atrocious. One of them was like one of those, like, you can't throw that in the NFL.
So bad. And I haven't underscored this enough.
Yeah.
He could have thrown like four or five in that game.
Okay. But he did throw two.
One was horrible, and he could have thrown more, but he only, quote-unquote, threw two, yes.
And so he did not have a very good game, and yet they had a lead in the second half, meaning the Denver Broncos did. So, like, the Seahawks had to come back. They ended up winning the game by six. 26-20 was the final. But I think the Broncos turned it over three times because Nix had the two picks. They also had a fumble lost. So if the Patriots don't do that and play it similar, I think – even
Nix.
Though
oh, no. has all day, but it's intercepted.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, he says. As the ball's in the air, he goes, oh, no.
I mean, basically, Nix can't throw beyond, like, the line of scrimmage.
That's not true.
If he's throwing 5, 10, 15, 25 yards downfield, he can't do it.
It's very overstated. He would throw the ball.
It's not overstated. You hear Archuleta? It's not overstated.
Well, that was just a bad read.
Oh, yeah.
He shouldn't have thrown it into triple coverage. Yeah. I feel like that was a mistake on his part. But, no, it's a similar game plan. You know, if they can run the ball against the – well, if they have the lead and run the ball with Ramondre Stevenson, and then if the defense does well. So there was no T. Higgins last week, but you still had to deal with Ja'Marr Chase, and you still had to deal with Joe Burrow.
Mm-hmm.
Geno Smith, not as good as Joe Burrow. He does have a better tandem of receivers available to him this weekend. And then the fact that Kenneth Walker's kind of up in the air, that's pretty significant.
That's huge.
Because he's one of their best offensive players. So Cincinnati, even an undermanned Cincinnati team, I can't talk up Joe Burrow all the time and then be like, well, like, they were a mess. No, they still beat Joe Burrow. So the test was tougher, I think, last week than it is this week for the defense, who only allowed 10 points.
Yeah, Charbonnet, by the way, Zach Charbonnet, who they drafted in the second round last year, second-year player, would replace Kenneth Walker if Walker can't go.
And he had a touchdown catch last week.
So I was going to say, so Walker didn't practice yesterday. We'll see about his availability. By the way, Jerod Mayo, he's an 88 in Madden.
That's right.
But Walker had 100 yards last week. He had a touchdown. Charbonnet had a touchdown, but it was on a catch, as you just said.
Mm-hmm.
He ran it eight times for 12 yards.
Yeah.
And their offensive line got banged up in that game. So who knows how healthy they'll be. I think the Patriots are going to stick with their game plan. You heard Jerod Mayo there. In the clip right off the top of the show, Jerod Mayo is saying, well, we're a running team. And he was asked about what you're going to do if another team reads you, says, hey, you've declared you're a running team. We are just going to take it away. Yeah. We're not going to allow you to run. And he says, well, we'll become a passing team. We have other things.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure about that.
No, I don't know.
I'm not so sure. I have a lot of faith in it. So I think you have to run. You have to plan to run on this team. And Denver last week really couldn't. 25 for 99. I guess that's about 4 yards a pop, which actually isn't terrible. Most of that was Bo Nix, though, who was their leading rusher.
And most of it came on one rush. Like, he had a big run.
He had like a 23-yard run. You're right, out of his 35. And so I don't know how easy it's going to be to run on this team. I think they're going to have to throw more. I don't know how much more because I don't think Seattle is dynamic offensively, and I don't think they're great defensively. But I think you're going to have to be able to throw more.
But I think also, like, you do give yourself a better chance. Like, if they're going to run, they're going to run, they're going to run. The Patriots are. And even when Seattle sells out to stop the run, I think you still try to run. And then at that point, you say, all right, now Pop Douglas is going to have to get open one-on-one.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be one-on-one, right? Like, all the guys you would assume are going to be freed up one-on-one, because if you were running the defense for Seattle, You're like, Stevenson, I need five guys at Stevenson at all times. Like, let the other guys beat you. Maybe Brissett makes a pass, but is he going to complete enough passes over the course of the game downfield, or do you take your
downfield?
Chances?
Downfield? No.
No way.
Yeah, he might maybe dinking and dunking, but not downfield. Stuff.
And, like, they have a young, decent secondary, right? This is years and years and years removed from the Legion of Boom, but they have a couple of, like, high draft picks. And
Tariq Woolen, Witherspoon, is that the other corner's name?
Devon Witherspoon was
the high pick.
Real high pick, higher than Gonzalez, right? It was last year's draft. But anyway, I think that they're still going to try to run against them, and they might be able to. Because think about that. Cincinnati, especially the whole fourth quarter, knew the Patriots were going to run. That final drive in particular knew they were going to run, and they couldn't stop them. Now, how many games can Ramondre Stevenson be superhuman? I mean, the yards after contact stat is amazing, but is that
sustainable?
Is it? Like, I don't know. Like, no. That's a lot of hits.
No.
Like, he's not going to play 17 games, and he can't get 25 carries a game. We joked about how that would be far and away an NFL record for most carries in a season. So at some point, you're going to have to reduce his workload a little bit, or he's just going to get hurt. And then where do you go? Like, I know when we had Kern on earlier in the week, he was saying, well, you got, Kevin Harris on the practice squad, and you got to get, Antonio Gibson unlocked. They're not Stevenson. Like, I know a lot of people just sort of, I'm not saying Kern thinks this, but a lot of people are like, oh, running backs are replaceable. We'll just put any running back in there. Do you think any running back would have had the success Stevenson had last week?
I don't know.
Probably not.
No.
He made a lot of guys miss.
I don't think anybody on this roster anyway.
No. There might be other guys in the league, but I'm saying, like, there's not one available to you right now to just swap him out and
right.
do that.
Yeah. Right. No, I agree with that. And so, number one, what's the game plan? Are you running? I agree with you. It's a game script thing. If it's a one-score game, sure, run all day.
Run it.
If you're down two touchdowns, you're not going to be able to do that.
What'll be interesting is if they get down in the game, does Seattle still say, we have to sell out against the run? Or do they drop it back a little bit and say, like, well, we don't want to get beat with the pass, which then allows you to, like, maybe run it again? Like, it'll be a good little game of chess.
Cat
coming
mouse.
Up.
Yeah, that's what that'll sure. be. Yeah. So what's the game plan? You can jump in here on Jones and Keefe, 617-779-7937. What's the number? If you had to pick a number they got to get to
Patriots
win this
offense?
Game against Seattle, yes. Offensively, or just, if you want to throw in a defensive score, go for it. But the point total they have to get to win this game this weekend.
It was
16 last weekend against the Bengals, who are a high-flying offense.
I was going to say, I would feel great about 20. I think I'd take 17.
20.
I'd feel great about 20.
Okay.
17, though, I think they can win. You don't think they can win like a 17,
no,
13?
I,
you
se-
do, but 17. I'm saying like out there. The plural you, the you that I'm speaking with right now. No, I think they could hold Seattle. They held Cincinnati to 10 on the road. Could they hold Seattle to 13 at home?
Definitely.
Yeah, hell yeah, they could.
Definitely they could.
So I'll say 17 then.
I think that's the right number. And I agree with you. If they're into the 20s, you're throwing a parade, which
it's probably a defensive score.
I was just going to say, it probably means they actually scored on defense or special teams.
Which is fine. It's going to happen this year.
I think they win with 17. Can they get to 17? Hell yeah, they can get to 17 against this team. Denver got to 20 last week, and they needed a couple of safeties to do it. But Denver
all counts. Defensive
got to 20.
Fine, go ahead.
So to me, that's the number. Get in the end zone twice, kick a field goal. I think you can win this game. That is not a high bar this weekend. So what do you think? Patriots and Seattle, a game that I think there's rising interest in, even if it's not full-blown, confidence like I have. In them winning against Seattle, which I had, as you did, Keith, prior to the Cincinnati game. I think there's interest and just intrigue in how this team is going to play and what they are, how much better off they are without Bill, how much better off they are without Mac Jones. Are they a professional operation? So you can jump in on that, 617-779-7937. We'll get to Kraft and his Hall of Fame candidacy later on this hour. We have some lingering thoughts on that. I also want to get to another comment from Gerard Mayo, who said there, hey, if we're a running team and they stop the run, we have other things we can pivot to. We'll get to the pass. How do they unlock the passing game? How do they unlock some of these wide receivers? And did Mayo take a bit of a shot at Jacoby Brissett?
Coach, it was a relatively quiet day from the receivers, but what did you see from that group on tape?
Yeah, those guys were doing the dirty work. And I would also say, if you turn on the film, we had guys open. And so when you go back to, getting better from week one to week two, we just got to find those guys and give them an opportunity to make plays.
Song hits a little different these days, doesn't it? Noted Coxman, Dave Grohl. Yes, it's something.
We touched on that yesterday.
Yeah, we sure did.
In the grab bag here on Jones and Keefe. on WEEI. We got your phone call, 617-779-7937.
I wonder how that forgiveness is going that he was that he was working towards.
Yeah, I'm sure his wife's over it by today. Yeah. I was out there on social media for a couple of days.
Yeah, he's good.
I'm sure he's earned his forgiveness back.
Just fine.
From his, you know, 15 and 10-year-old daughters or whatever they are.
Whoops.
So when it comes to unlocking the passing game,
mm-hmm.
you heard Jerod Mayo say it there. Put on the film. We had guys open. I mean, look. I didn't go back and watch the All-22, Keith.
What?
I don't know about you. I had
it's in my queue.
Bets to make, drinking to do.
Yep, yep.
I didn't go back and watch the All-22. But I'll take Mayo at his word. Fine, receivers were running all over the place. I mean, what's he saying? When you say we had guys open, we got to hit them, what's he talking about?
Yeah,
he's talking about
the quarterback.
Jacoby Brissett not seeing open receivers. I mean, is there any other way to take that?
No. You're trying to compliment the receivers, but in doing so, you're kind of ripping the quarterback
right.
for not being able to see it.
Exactly.
And overall, he did play a good game. Like on the Jacoby Brissett scale, he played a good game. And there were some throws that he missed, but I think even Jerod Mayo, and I'm sure Alex Van Pelt would take it, be like, all right, you missed a couple of throws. But he didn't force it.
He didn't kill us.
You know, I mean, he forced one.
He forced one.
Good, touche. Yeah. He forced one, and you got away with it. But if you – so just do that math. If you force five, how many are you going to get away with, right? You barely got away with the one. So I think they'll take that overall. They want him to be conservative. They want him to, you know, if he sees an opportunity to maybe force the ball in down the field a little bit or, you know, scoot and pick up a first down with his legs, which he was able to do multiple times in the game, I think they'll take that overall. But I think Mayo's also saying that to sort of say, like, hey, that's where we started. Like, the passing game with Brissett can be better. I think that's what he's trying to say. Whether he truly believes it or not, I don't know.
Yeah, it came across to me as a criticism of the quarterback play.
Yeah.
And we'll get to an interesting update on Drake May here in a moment from the sideline reporter last week, Evan Washburn, on CBS. But is there a receiver you expect? I mean, we should expect more out of all of them.
Yeah.
But is there a receiver that specifically you think, okay, they can get more out of this guy, they will get more out of this guy this week against Seattle?
Yeah, Pop Douglas. I mean, I like long-term Jalen Polk as the second-round pick this year to be the guy, and I'm really hoping that he ends up being their best receiver for a long time, and that's the idea when you pick somebody that high. But based on the flashes we saw last season, the talk out of camp this year, even though Pop Douglas wasn't available throughout all of camp, he was their most effective guy. I mean, the thing with him is really just worried about, because he's so small, is he going to be able to last a full season? Is he really? I think he said at the beginning of the year, was his goal 100 catches or 1,000 yards, maybe both? Like, he had a big goal
that
he set for himself. And I don't know if he's going to achieve that, but he should be their leading receiver, I would think, this year. Receptions-wise, probably yards-wise as well. I don't know if he's going to be a big touchdown guy. Probably not. But I would say Pop Douglas, because you can also do different things. You can throw it short to him. You can end arounds. Like, any just overall touches, I'll give him credit for.
And that's what I want to see for both him and Jalen Polk as well. Give him easy throws. See if they can run after the catch. I don't need to see K.J. Osborne anymore.
At all.
I saw him for the one game. He's terrible. You can cut him if you want. I'm sure they won't since they spent money on him. Don't need to see him anymore. Nick just dropped this stat in. Separation win rates for the Patriots.
Oh, my God. What is this, Nick?
Jalen Polk. Yeah, how do I even read these numbers?
This is
33%.
Open 33%
of the time. Open 33% of the time, Jalen Polk. That was most on the team.
So
ahead of Pop Douglas at 22%. Austin Hooper just running circles around people at 21%.
You can't cover Hooper.
And then you get down to Tyquan Thornton. Hunter Henry, friend of the show, creates zero separation.
Nope, doesn't need to. Catch radius.
KJ Osborne at the bottom. So
KJ Osborne doesn't get open at all. Is
the
what
point,
you're
and when he does, he drops them.
And he's small.
And he's tiny.
Yeah.
Other than that, good player.
Yep.
So the point being, though, I think they can get more out of Polk this week, too, and they should give him some looks. So I would start with those two and expect more out of those two this week.
Oddly promising, though, and we were both surprised by the snap count number, but Polk played a lot in the game. You didn't notice him. He had one catch.
I was shocked when you told me he played over 50%.
But at least he was out there.
I didn't realize that.
And so who knows? And based on this number, the separation win rate, it sounds like he was open, so that might have been one of the guys that Mayo was talking about specifically.
That's what I was just going to say. Who is he talking about?
Well,
is he talking about Douglas?
Polk and Douglas.
Is he talking about
and Hooper.
Jalen Polk? Yes, so those guys are open. So find them, Jacoby.
The Hooper scooper.
Do you expect more? Yeah, the Louisville Hooper.
Because I don't expect anything from Osborne, neither do you. Tyquan Thornton, I've given up on, but he apparently had a pretty good camp, and he was open. He actually had the long, the Patriots, which was hilarious, we talked about this earlier in the week, didn't have a play of 20 yards.
Nope.
And they won the game. But Stevenson had a 17-yard run, and Tyquan Thornton had a 17-yard catch. Those are the two longest plays of the game on offense.
Those are your quote-unquote explosive plays.
Yeah, they were.
So what do you expect out of the receivers this week? What's your game plan against
Seattle? Over under 121 yards passing, because that's the number over against Cincinnati.
Over. Has to be.
Yeah, that is a low number.
I mean, I'd probably take over 150. That's still low.
Over 150?
Yes. 150's that's nothing.
No, but you see what they have
here? I understand,
here?
Like, but I just...
All they do is want to run the ball, and they don't have a quarterback who can throw.
But
so
they didn't have to
I know
to
in
throw.
Real life that's a low number, but...
But just a few more throw, just a few, a little more
How
volume
many
in the passing
How many did Bo Nix have last year? Or last week? Against Seattle. I have it. I'm just... Take a guess.
130-something?
Yeah.
We read it the other day. Yeah.
138.
138. Over.
All right, so let's do 138 over. Under. You're going to say over?
Over. Yeah.
I'll say under.
So what's the game plan? How many points do they need to score? Both Keith and I said 17.
Yep.
Do you expect more out of the receivers? I asked this earlier, too. How do you unlock the passing game? 3-7, 93-7. Guys, how do you unlock the passing game? You put in Drake effing May.
Okay, fair.
Fair is right. Yeah. Let me hear Evan Washburn. I'm trying to remember where this was. I don't remember. Oh, was it with Chris Sims? Who was he with? I don't recall. So shame on me. But Evan Washburn, who did sideline reporting last week for the Patriots game, which means Tom Brady, he sat in the production meetings. He got all the behind-the-scenes info.
You're not allowed to do that.
On what's going on at Patriots practice and how they're game planning. We talked earlier in the week. Phil Perry said Drake May got more reps than your typical backup. Evan Washburn has details on exactly how much work he got.
Jacoby's the starter. He won the job in the offseason in training camp. Drake May's the number two. But during the week, he gets 30% of the first team reps. And for those that don't know, a backup in a normal NFL situation, if they get 5 to 10% of the first team reps, that would be a lot. On top of that, when he's running the scout team, he's not getting a heads up of what he's going to face. So it's not a situation where he's there just to help out the first team defense. They want to use that as live game reps, if you will, for Drake May to face what appears to be, after what we saw yesterday in Cincinnati, a top-tier defense in New England.
Okay, So he's getting 30% of the reps.
Okay.
And he said in that clip, you probably know this anyway, when Brady was there, the backups were getting zero reps, because why would they? 30%, and he's not just running scout team reps, he's going out there and getting live reps where he doesn't know what the defense is running, which is typically what you do on the scout team. Hey, this defense runs this, scout team, go run it, mimic it. Typically, he knows what they're doing, or a backup quarterback would know that. He doesn't.
Or you're running their plays. You're not running your plays.
Exactly. Yeah, so they're running his plays against the live defense, and they're putting him to the test. Now, he wouldn't commit to a timeline. I still think if things go south the next few weeks, which is not what I'm forecasting, but if they do.
No, you got him 3-0.
That Miami week is still in play week 5.
It is.
But it sounds like they're giving him more reps than normal. They're still not fully sold on Jacoby Brissett, and it's a pretty aggressive plan for Drake May. So if you are like that texter, hey, unlock the passing game, get May in there. I still think that's right around the corner, assuming they hit a rough patch at any point.
Well, I kind of read it now as maybe the win-loss record doesn't matter as much. Like, maybe they could be a decent team, and they still make the change.
You know who did that? The Dolphins.
Dolphins, right, exactly.
We talked about 100%. This with Tua and Fitzpatrick.
And then Flores kind of butchered that, and then, you know, Fitzpatrick won a couple games later, went to Tua, then they kind of yo-yoed him, then there were some injuries, and that really did become quite a bit of a mess. But we don't know exactly what the plan is, but they've always referenced this plan that they have for Drake May. And maybe it was just, hey, we're going to get him ready. We're going to get him ready during the season as well. And if the rest of the team, I think that's also an important piece. If the offensive line isn't a disaster, and at least through 1 week, it wasn't a disaster, and Ramondre Stevenson looks great, if you can maybe get some of the other skill guys to play a little bit better, you know you have a good defense. So you're not just throwing them out there into the worst situation in the league, which before the year started, it was in the mix. It was in but if you compared their performance as an overall team to Carolina, the Giants, and some of the other things we saw on Sunday, they're above them. They're better than those teams. So maybe they're like, hey, Jacoby Brissett, you can play well. Maybe in your scenario, maybe they're 3-2 after 5 games. They could still make the switch. I thought if they keep winning, that's going to kind of postpone it. Now I'm not so sure. If he's getting that many reps, I think they might have a plan. Like, we think we can get him ready for week 6 because they don't have to worry about Brissett lighting the world on fire. Brissett, like, we're all applauding Brissett because he threw for 120 yards and didn't turn it over. Like, right. That is such an insanely low bar.
And he's lucky he didn't turn it over.
And he's not Mac Jones.
Right.
So that is a big bonus. But if he plays like that and they win these close games, the Patriots know Jerod Mayo, even though he's a defensive guy, and Alex Van Pelt, even though he's a run guy, he knows that they drafted this guy third overall. You do need to be able to throw it. Even if so it's Drake May handing the ball off a lot, you need that threat to pass.
You think if they're 3-2,
they could still make the change?
I would love to believe that. I don't believe that. If they're 3-2 and they're winning games, they'll keep their hands at 10-2 and they will leave Jacoby Brissett in there. That's what I think.
What if it's still $120 like every game?
They'll keep Brissett in there.
So I think that you could see the switch because they say, listen, we got it. Like, we're getting by. We joked, was it last week, about that year Tim Tebow won all those games?
Yeah.
And I'm like, how are they doing this? They knew it wasn't sustainable. And, you know, that was a different scenario. Like, now you have the third overall pick sitting there. And let's say he might be looking great in these practices. We don't know. We're not there. But if he's getting 30% and he's looking like the better guy, at some point you owe it to the team, the 3-2 team or the 4-2 team, like whatever their record might be, to say, hey, we're actually better than we thought, and we might be able to improve and upgrade quarterback. Like, I think you have to do it.
Yeah. So you can jump in on this, 617-779-7937. We disagree on that, but it's interesting. I'd love to see Drake May at some point, especially if you think you can raise the ceiling of this offense, which – after 1 week, you need to raise the ceiling.
So are you saying if they're giving him this many reps, they're only going to put him in if Brissett gets hurt or sucks?
Yeah, or
the team's
losing. Team starts.
Okay,
I think it's a lot about that.
If the
team loses these next 3 weeks,
yeah, just preparing themselves for that.
Yeah, I think they're going to beat Seattle. I think they can beat the Jets week 3. Niners are their own thing, but I think they can win these games. If they don't, and I'm wrong, and they're 1-3, then I think they'll make the switch. But I think it has a lot to do with the team's success. So we disagree on that, but. How do you unlock the passing game? What's the timeline for Drake May? How do they beat Seattle this weekend? And what's the point total they need to beat Seattle this weekend? You can jump in on all of it. We've covered it through the first 40-plus minutes here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. I want to circle back to something we talked about a lot yesterday and something that was discussed a lot yesterday throughout Boston. Robert Kraft, his Hall of Fame candidacy. We have some lingering thoughts on it, including why the timing? Why did it come out now? What was the purpose behind this story getting out? Let's get to it next.
When I've talked to people post Hall of Fame, whether it be Stacy, whether it be Jonathan Kraft, those people are more crestfallen than they say Robert is. Robert, when I've asked, well, how's Kraft doing with this? He's actually all right with it. He just doesn't expect to get in now.
You believe that for a second, Keith?
I do not.
Robert doesn't care.
All of a sudden, he's like, it's the most important thing in the world for like 10 years. And I'm like, nope, don't care. Does that ever happen to you? You ever really cared about something and then stopped altogether?
What's your stance on holding a grudge, Keith, and getting upset about something?
I feel like you should hold a grudge till the day you die. Otherwise, you shouldn't have gotten mad in the first place.
Wasn't even worth getting upset in the first place.
Correct.
So why, Robert Kraft was mad for 10 years, and now he's like, oh, I don't even care.
Whatever.
I didn't even want that anyway.
No.
I didn't expect to get in anyways. Like, if I get in, it'll be a nice surprise.
Now, it is apples to oranges. Like we talked about yesterday with players and versus coaches and managers and owners, but like, you think Roger Clemens wants to be in the Hall of Fame?
I would imagine.
You think Barry Bonds wants to be in the Hall of Fame?
Or do
you think
all it's quite important?
You think Pete Rose does?
Yeah.
Or one day they woke up and like, nah.
Yeah.
Like, they might be.
I don't care anymore.
There's sort of a difference. Like, maybe he's resigned to the fact that he won't, right? Maybe every year he was.
But
getting,
I don't believe that either. I don't believe he's resigned. I don't think he believes he won't.
Well, I mean, at this point, it's been so many years where he hasn't.
I don't think he believes
he won't. You can still want to get in, but be like, are you getting your hopes up that you're going to get in?
Yes, he is.
Oh, maybe.
I think he is.
I mean, fool me once, fool me twice, fool me nine times.
I mean,
like, shame on me.
You know, as the texter said yesterday, he's been able to buy pretty much everything in his life.
That's true.
I'm assuming he figures at some point at the end of the rainbow, he's going to get into the Hall of Fame.
Actually, now that they've taken the owner category and separated it from the coaches, maybe that does give him a little bit more hope than he had before. Like, he's like, now I really should be in.
Yeah, right. He's getting his hopes.
I don't
buy that for a second, but whatever. That's the spin coming out of the Patriots. And we talked about this a lot yesterday here on Jones and Keefe. Robert Kraft is Hall of Fame candidacy. Should he be in? Most importantly, why isn't he in? What's holding him back? And I think it's the pressure campaign from Robert and his proxy, Stacey James. Like, he wants to get in so badly, which again flies in the face of he doesn't care.
Yeah, right.
He wants to get in so badly. He's pressuring people to do it. He has a book written about him. He has a 10-episode Apple TV series.
Both backfired. Yeah.
But the idea was to help him get in. And so I think that's the kind of stuff that's blowing up in his face, more so than the scandal, Spygate, Deflategate.
It does seem personal,
Orchids of Asia.
It seems like it's a personal thing because even like if Tom Brady and Bill Belichick put in like a big like pro getting into the Hall of Fame campaign. You'd be like, I don't really know why you're doing this, but you're obviously going in.
Yeah.
So, like, that's annoying, but, like, you're in. And so you and I, neither of us think owners should be in, but they are in.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking at owners who are eligible to be in the Hall of Fame, he has the best credentials. He should be in the Hall of Fame. So it's almost like, even if you don't like how he's going about it, like, the Hall of Famer. So if you're a voter, like, why are you holding them out? Like, it's got to be personal at this point.
So taking a step back, why do you think this story came out when it did? Week one of the NFL season, this feels like a story that could have come out, well, number one, anytime in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Number two, it feels kind of like an off-season story,
well,
right?
This,
like, it's an owner who wants to get in and is thirsty about getting in but hasn't gotten in. So why the timing? Like, we talked about it a lot yesterday. This occurred to me driving home. Like, why is now the time this story drops?
Maybe Don Van Natta had all summer off. Maybe he's back.
Is that what it is?
Back to work.
He's on sabbatical.
Well, the little subcommittee that meets before it goes to the bigger committee to vote on who's a Pro Football Hall of Famer, that gets ready in October, I believe it said in the article. So you're a couple of weeks ahead of that. You're getting ahead of, like, all right, here's, like, kind of like one more push for this, I guess. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, so one more push. So you think it's written to get it out there and, like, pressure,
well,
put pressure on the voters, like the Patriots want it out there.
It's not very pro Patriot, so I don't know if it's a like, hey, this is another crack at it. But it is.
Right, it doesn't feel like something that would leak from their side. But
no.
it might help. It's a good point. It might help Robert get in.
But I do think because you're at least talking about it, and I bet there's a lot of football fans that, especially outside of New England, didn't know and certainly didn't care that he was or wasn't in. But they might be looking at it and be like, wait, he's not in. Right, like, as much as you hated the Patriots, you're probably thinking the coach, quarterback, and owner that was there for the entire 20-year dynasty, like, they're Hall of Famers.
Right.
So you're probably like, wait, what?
If you would have told me before 2017 Jerry Jones was in the Hall of Fame, I would have thought he was.
Yeah, but yeah.
Right? I would have been like, yeah, they must have put him in. They won 3 Super Bowls. You're right. Probably a lot of people didn't know.
So at least he's got people talking about it. It doesn't seem super pro him. He does come up. And then, because it also, it brings up all of the reasons why he's probably not. So it sort of also brings up Spygate, Deflategate, Orchids of Asia, which I think most people have completely forgotten about, but, like, that's written again, and that's, people are talking about it again.
So in a weird way, it might help Robert get in. I'm with you. I don't think it leaked from the Patriots side. Who's a certain, mostly out of work? I mean, he's actually got, like, a billion jobs.
He's the least out of work guy.
But a certain ex-football coach who now has some time on his hands and has some score settling to do after the dynasty.
Mm.
Dragged through the mud, stabbed in the back, didn't want to cooperate with it, not real thrilled with Robert Kraft, who, oh, by the way, might have gone out of his way to lean on Arthur Blank and crap talk Bill about getting that job in Atlanta. I wonder if this story is some score settling from Bill's side.
Maybe.
An example of Bill punching back. Now, right.
But Van Natta is a guy who has written a lot of stuff with Wickersham who Bill Belichick did not enjoy those articles.
No, but it's not. I'm not saying it's Bill. It could be from Bill's side.
Oh,
the Lombardis, Patricia's, people close to Bill in the football world saying, Robert, it's kind of pathetic what he's doing about this Hall of Fame candidacy. And, oh, by the way, here's why he's out. Don't forget about Spygate. Remember what happened in Florida. Like, I'm not saying it directly came from Bill. People sympathetic to Bill, people in Bill's orbit, or Bill talk to them, some score settling from Bill. Because you're right, the ESPN-Van Natta relationship may not be great for Bill.
I think it's great.
But I wonder if this is some example of Bill and his side punching back.
It could be. I think it also is, the Patriots have been such a monster for headlines and clickbait and everything else for so many years, and now it's almost one of the last stories to write. Bill's gone, Brady's gone. The team, hopefully in a few years, will be able to bounce back and you'll be able to write about how good they are now and sort of that transition.
But why now? Because it could have been written really any time in the last 10 years. He's been trying to get in for 10 years.
Yeah, I wonder if it's just because this is going to be in the news again coming up. They get out in front of it. This committee is going to be talking about it. It is somewhat topical. Whereas if you did write it in July, you're thinking, all right, well, it's still 4 months until this is even going to be in the process again. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's also something, because he did get a lot of quotes from a lot of people. Like, this is probably something he has been working on for a long time.
Yeah, it's interesting. So you can jump in on this if you have lingering thoughts. And that's the only one I really have today. Just why now? Why did this story even come out?
Do you think he gets in now?
Yeah.
This year?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I think with the changes to the committee, and I think this story, again, in a weird way, Like, it might blow up in Bill's face. It's like the dynasty blew up in Robert's face. Bill's like, or people close to Bill, oh, let's drag Robert through the mud a little bit. Let's punch back. Let's get even. And it ends up helping Robert.
Yeah, it might.
Just like the Crafts thought the dynasty was going
to
help them.
He needed to distance himself from the massage parlor, but also the dynasty. Like, they all that stuff was not looking good for him, right? Nope. And they're like, all right, we're going to delay this a little bit. We don't love how badly you want this. We're going to keep it away from you. But now at this point, maybe they'll finally put him in.
So why now? And is Bill behind it? 617-779-7937. You can jump in on this. Coming up less than an hour from now, misleading. We'll go back and revisit something from the Greg Hill Show today. Wiggy in the news for his time at Brockton High. Yeah. We can get to some of that maybe coming up.
Steve Wilkes treatment there.
In the leads, that's true. Very quickly out. You know, it was a little bit more than the Frank Reich treatment in Carolina. We'll get to your phone calls here coming up. Let's also get to these coaches this weekend in the Patriots and Seahawks game on Sunday in Foxborough. Jerod Mayo, Mike McDonald. Is the defensive coach making a comeback in the NFL? Let's do that next.